Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
Well, good morning. We are into the second part of our Up, Up, and Awake show for this Friday morning. I'm Bob Flott, back again, live and local in the studio this morning. Want to thank the ladies from the Holloman Spouses Organization for coming in live and local with us this morning at 8 o'clock and talking about their big event coming up next Saturday out at Holloman Air Force Base. Well, right now we have 57 degrees on this Friday morning. Another beautiful day all around Otero County. Another beautiful day out at White Sands Missile Range. Hey, this morning, our guest this morning regarding White Sands Missile Range is Garrison Commander Colonel David Mitchell. And Colonel Mitchell, good morning, sir. I know you're on a tight schedule, but we appreciate your time this morning.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you doing on this Friday morning?
Doing great. It's a pleasure to be on with you this morning.
Well, we appreciate it, sir. Are you getting yourself kind of geared up for a little relaxation this weekend?
Well, I always try to, but sometimes you never know what takes place out here. So I always have to be ready to respond to anything that goes on the installation.
You bet, sir. Well, let's talk about that. Colonel Mitchell, tell me a little bit about yourself and what led you to become the garrison commander at White Sands Missile Range.
So, Bob, I've been in the service for going on 25 years. I'm an Army logistician by trade, and I went through the normal process of being selected to be a brigade level commander, as all the other 06 commands through a central selected process that the Army has. You have a small possibility of picking selecting the location that you want and the types of jobs that you want, but at the end of the day, it's all about serving the country and going where the Army needs you.
As the garrison commander there at White Sands Missile Range, give us a little idea as to what your job entails. And is that job kind of like being, maybe the city manager for Alamogordo, the mayor of Alamogordo, or the mayor of Las Cruces?
So, you really hit on it. It's kind of a mixture of both. You are managing a small city, but it's like you're the mayor as well. So any problem, more than likely it's your problem. And everyone has a tendency to come to you to either come up with a solution or figure out, you know, what we need to do to help make things better. So it's definitely one of those types of jobs. And I have a great team here that helps make the world go round here at White Sands, and they do a great job on helping to react and respond to things as they occur.
You know, it's kind of like acting as a mayor, for an example. You know, that the mayor's position is, if there's a tied vote, the mayor gets to cast that opinion. Now, is that what you do as well?
I do get a vote in a lot of things. But at the end of the day, the senior commander, General Little here, is the ultimate final say on what takes place out here. So, fortunately, it's all about relationships, and I believe that, you know, the two of us have a great relationship that help make this installation run smoothly.
Well, we've been out there several times. My daughter works out there as well, and we know that installation is very successful and runs very smoothly. Well taken care of, for sure. Now, Colonel, you mentioned the fact that you'd been in the U.S. Army for 25 years, and I'm doing a little bit of math on this. I was drafted before you were born, by the way. All right. I was drafted in the U.S. Army back in 1963. Only served a couple of years, but almost made it my career. I was fortunate. My career before the Army was broadcasting. And that was my training. And my education was in that. And I was fortunate enough to go to work back then for the Armed Forces Radio and Television Network. And truly loved my 2 years. It kept me fresh in the industry. But also, it helped me stay current. So when I got out of the Army after 2 years, I could step right back into broadcasting again, which I did, and help continue my career. And a lot of the men and women, and we're maybe breaking off the schedule a little bit, but a lot of the men and women in the Army and other branches of the service, they become involved in one side or the other of what they're doing, and they end up making that a career option. Is that correct?
They do. And I'll just tell you, like, when I decided to make the Army a career, you know, I got a degree in criminal justice, and I've never gone back to that bachelor's degree. After becoming a logistician, I went and got the Army paid for me to get my master's degree in supply chain management and logistics. And I'll be honest with you, I will stick, even after my Army career ends, I will stick to that as I go forward, simply because that, you know, that's what I've been doing for almost 25 years. The only anomaly in there is that I was selected to be a garrison commander here at White Sands. And, you know, I would tell you, there's a really small piece of, you know, like a 3-day introduction on what that equals. And so a lot of us that are garrison commanders at this level get a very limited amount of training when it comes to what it means to do that. And so it's really based on leadership and what you've learned throughout your 24, 25 years of service in order to get you to where you're at and to be successful.
Right. So you get a lot of OJT training with that. What are some of the, Colonel Mitchell, what are some of the more critical parts of being the garrison commander?
So we really do base operations. So anything from, you know, our public works to resource management to, you know, like my DPTMS team that really is kind of like your operational cell that really kind of manages everything that goes in and out of the installation. We have our Directorate of Emergency Services, that's all your fire stations and your police and your guard force. So all things force protection run through them. So it's really set up so that you can handle really anything that takes place. So as you know, the weather out here gets a boat, and we have a lot of power outages here. So we have a lot of high voltage power folks that work in my public works team that go out and make sure that, you know, we can get the power back on when it goes out. So, you know, everything that you can possibly imagine that takes place that impacts the community out here at White Sands or operations, our team, they're ready to respond to it.
You know, in running that kind of an operation, I know, like in my broadcasting career, I had a fellow broadcaster up in Rio Doso that I believe it was through a storm last summer. A big lightning storm went through, hit his transmitter area, burned out his transmitter and everything else. And he was in a panic mode and called me up and he said, Bob, here's my situation. I said, I got you covered. What's your power level? What do you need? He told me, I said, I've got that covered. I got a transmitter to take care of that. So we loaned that to him while he was going through this situation. And I guess the same is true with White Sands Missile Range. You probably work together with your neighbors here at Holloman Air Force Base and at Fort Bliss.
Yeah, we absolutely do. It's a great partnership. my teammates there at Holloman and down at Fort Bliss. You know, I will tell you that I probably don't talk to them as much as my organization does. So each of my directors have, you know, daily or weekly conversations with our counterparts because it may not seem like it, but we're all three really connected. And I think that those relationships that we foster each and every day between all three of us, it helps us just get that much better as organizations here in New Mexico.
And Colonel Mitchell, looking at that, you know, being the garrison commander, we're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars in equipment and everything else. With that kind of a burden, there has to be a lot of enjoyment in it for you as well. Otherwise, you would not be doing it.
No, you're right. I'll be honest with you. Just the opportunity to continue to serve the country each and every day is a blessing. And, you know, it's been a really great for me. You know, I left the Pentagon last spring to come out here, and I've never been to this part of the country before, and it's really been great and enjoyable. And one of the major things that helps between me and my team keep us going each and every day is to show, just to see improvement, taking something and just making it better each and every day. And I think keeping that mentality just helps you motivate you to keep going and to continue to serve.
You know, Colonel Mitchell, we get out to Holloman Air Force Base a lot for some of the events out there, and one thing that always just really impresses me is the quality of airmen we have in the United States Air Force. And when I come out to White Sands Missile Range, I see the same thing. The dedication, the motivation to be number one, to do their part to the best of their ability. Does it still go true? Be all you can be? What's the slogan for the Army now?
It's right back to where it was. So be all you can be. You know, it's definitely, like I said, it's definitely an honor and a privilege to continue to serve it. It's interesting here, you know, this installation is we have a majority of civilian and contractors that are here. And it's a change for, like, myself and the Sergeant Major, where we primarily came from organizations that were more uniform-wearing personnel. But I'll tell you, to see the level of professionalism that works across this installation, it's amazing. And that, you know, it's not a month that goes by that we're not giving out certificates of years in service of people that have served 20 and 30 years. It's pretty incredible.
And Colonel Mitchell, you must, I've never met you yet, so I'm just kind of envisioning you, your stature and everything else. You must be a pretty strong individual, because I know the recent Bataan Memorial Death March, you were in that, you completed that Bataan Memorial Death March. Give us an idea of your experience doing the Death March.
Well, it was a very humbling experience, I'll tell you. You know, I trained for it for a while, and that was my first marathon distance run. But more importantly, what that meant and what, you know, the legacy behind the Bataan Death March. I think that was the most important thing. And just, you know, every step of the way, I had a friend of mine that ran it with me. We've served together for the last 25 years, and we both talked about it throughout, like just thinking about like the story behind the Death March and just kind of almost walking in the same shoes, if you will, on the history behind it was amazing. And it's something that I always cherish. I look forward to the next one. I'm really hoping that, you know, we had about 5,400 personnel that did the march this past year. And looking forward to increasing those numbers going into the next one next year.
Now, because of COVID-19, I think in years 20 and 21, maybe even 22, but it was a virtual event.
Yes, sir. Yep. We were virtual. This is the first time that we had the live event since I think 2019. And we also had some virtual runners that were, majority of those, a lot of those were overseas. So we appreciate the participation there, but we're going to really, we already started the planning for the next one, and we're looking at making it even bigger.
You know, I'm certainly know that you're aware of why that takes place and everything else. Now, is your appreciation or respect greater for the men that walked that Bataan Death March than maybe it was prior to you taking part in the Bataan Memorial Death March?
So I'll tell you, so during the week leading up to the march, I got to go and sit down and talk with some of the survivors and the families of the survivors. And it's kind of a speechless, you know, event where you just listen to their stories and you hear about them talk about some of the struggles that they went through, and just incredible. It's just something I'll always remember. I definitely, to answer your question, I definitely have a greater appreciation for it now than I ever did before, if that's even possible. But I'll tell you that it was an amazing experience, and like I said, I look forward to the next one.
Now, I know that the Army White Sands Missile Range, you've been reaching out in the area and everything else, and you had an enrichment day earlier this week in cooperation with the Las Cruces Public School District. Tell me about the enrichment day, and how did that turn out?
Yeah, that was a great event. We had about 400 students come out from each of the schools in Las Cruces. You know, previously they normally do that enrichment day out in the convention center. And, you know, I went to the superintendent of schools and offered up to have them come out here to White Sands to give them an idea of what it is to serve and what opportunities are there for them. Not only to serve in uniform, but that there's jobs to be a civilian, a contractor, a firefighter, a police person. You know, all sorts of opportunities. It's almost like the sky's the limit, right? And so we had a round robin set up, and we did everything from, you know, they got to see working dogs, they got to see people rappel off of a tower, you got to see all the different unique capabilities that the test center has, and then our special forces unit here set up some equipment, and we also had Army Air come over from Holloman. So it was a great opportunity for the kids to see all the different things that we do here at White Sands, but also what it means to serve and the opportunities to serve the country. Because they're the future, and we have to start showing them and selling that to them so that they can step up and do that whenever they make that decision as they get ready to graduate high school.
And that's a great way to get the Army story out as well, because sometimes the younger people don't really think about the military as a strong career option. They think about other kinds of things, and that's a good way for those kids to look at that and say, you know, I believe I would like to do that in the U.S. Army. And that's what we're hoping for with the end result.
Absolutely. Yep. And, you know, I believe after talking to a lot of the staff in Las Cruces schools, I think we're going to make this an annual event. And we learned a lot on this one, and we just look forward to making the next one that much better.
Well, that was a great event. What else is coming up at White Sands Missile Range?
So we have, so this month we're celebrating the month of the military child. So we have a lot of events going on for the community out here. We're getting ready to have Ranchers Day, where the ranchers in the surrounding area come in, and we do a luncheon with them and give them an update on what's going on White Sands in regards to testing and things of that nature. We also we have the grand opening to the museum coming up the first part of May. I think we decided May 4th is going to be the grand opening, so we're super excited about that. It's been a long time waiting for getting the final fixes of all the updates and everything for the museum. So we're looking forward to that grand opening. And then the 10th of June, we have the Army Ball coming up, the Army Birthday Ball, and then Wismer Week to celebrate really the Army birthday. So we have a bunch of events going on the week of the 15th of June to celebrate the Army birthday.
Well, that sounds like a lot of things coming up, and I know that Scott Stearns, your chief of public affairs there at White Sands Missile Range in the public affairs office, will keep us well informed on that. By the way, Colonel, I want you to know that Scott and his team, they do a great job in working with us and keeping us informed on everything going on at White Sands Missile Range, so I want to give them some public thanks as well, and I know you're proud of them.
Yeah, they do a great job. Speaking of Enrichment Day, they followed me around at all the different locations, so I'm sure that we all got our steps in that day. So they do an awesome job on taking care of us and making sure that we're telling the story that takes place out here at White Sands. So we're definitely proud of them.
All right. Colonel Mitchell, do you have any final comments on this Friday morning?
Hey, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity. Appreciate what you do and the continued support of us out here, and look forward to the next time, Bob.
Okay, Colonel, we'll do it for sure. Thank you very much. And by the way, take a little break this weekend if you can. I know you're on call 24/7, but take a little break and enjoy the sunshine.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Okay, Colonel, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.